Right. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Luke 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Does anyone need one of the worksheets? Anybody need one of these? I think we got most everybody covered. Very good. All right. So we're continuing our lessons on It's Not What You Think. And this one is another one of those very, I think, hard lessons as Christians that we need to be reminded of and we need to practice. And that is, bless them that curse you. Bless them that curse you. And a lot of times we bless them out, but that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, bless them that curse you. Luke 6, 27 and 28, reading from the Holy Bible, from the inspired Word of God, without question. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully or on purpose use you, they mistreat you. So here's the formula that God has given us, and we are supposed to follow it no matter what. We're to do it. We've always had conflict since the beginning of history. Go back to the very beginning of history, follow history all the way through human history, and there's always been conflict. Always. There was a lot of wars started by silly things or things that were insignificant, little things. They turned into major things. One of them was called the Pig War. That's a war that was that took place on the coast of the east of our country, and then also went on over to Vancouver Island. There was a little island in between called San Juan Island. And on that island, they had some British people who were members of a company that sold goods, and they were on the island. Then they had some Americans who were American people that were there just because they were settlers. And so they were both on the island, and they didn't like each other. And so one day a farmer, an American farmer by the name of Lyman Cutler, discovered that a British-owned black boar, a hog, was eating potatoes on his farm. And so this farmer killed the hog because the hog was eating his potatoes. He shot it. And then that created tensions between the American settler, the guy that shot the other guy's hog, and the Hudson Bay man that was British. And so they began to fight. And then the American troops arrived on the island. They were led by Captain George Pickett. And then he declared the whole island as U.S. territory, and that made the British mad, and they sent the armed naval vessels to the coastline, and they had to stand off for weeks, and it went into more time and more time, and finally, they worked it out with a formal agreement. And it all started because one man shot a hog, and that's sort of the way some of our things get started. So it was called the Pig War. And a lot of nations have fought over trivial things, and I might add a lot of individuals like us have made battles in war over things that were trivial, that were insignificant, that were not really important. It might be some kind of misunderstanding from individuals, something that somebody did to us on purpose, whatever, but the wounds get deep very quickly. And then as a result, there's trouble. And we've seen that. We see that sometimes in our families, and we see that in our churches. But now Christians are supposed to obey the Lord. Luke 6, 28, in our text, bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. So we're to obey that. Now, As I said last week, the natural tendency is to do what? Retaliate, get even, and to say something back to them. It may be face-to-face that we do it, or it may be sort of behind their backs. We go behind their back and we attack them through talking to other people. But the Bible says that's the wrong way to do it. We're to bless them that curse us and pray for people that despitefully use us. And that's a hard formula. But Christ demonstrated it. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Believe me, he could have reviled. I mean, he could have killed him. He could have spoken the word. But when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, in other words, to his Father. So what we're to do as believers, to obey or disobey, we have a choice. We're to follow Christ, and that shows to other people what the gospel has done in our lives, what being saved has done for us. I don't know if any of you have ever fooled karate, Japanese martial art, but in Japanese martial art, it's designed primarily for self-defense. And it involves punching, kicking, sometimes grappling, what they call grappling, arm bars, and advanced throws. They're designed to take down the opponent that is threatening the person. And it's primarily self-defense. Now, most of us are not trained in karate, but in physical karate, but we're trained, as Baptists, we're trained in verbal karate. We take down and use those means to hurt other people. We're called a name, and so we call back a worse name maybe, or a name back to that person. And then that whole thing begins to escalate, and then there are verbal punches. It happens between husbands and wives. It happens between wives and children. It happens at work. It happens in a lot of different settings. But we want to get even. It's retaliation. And it doesn't agree with what God says. He said the same thing in Romans 12:14. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. It's reiterated there in Romans 12:14. Now the word bless here, what does it mean? Bless them which persecute you. It carries the idea of actually blessing them or praising them, saying kind things about one another. That's the instruction. And then the word persecute, that's sort of a broad word. It can be a very small, minor thing that happens, harassment, or it can be a big persecution and be very difficult. Then the word curse here, what he's saying is don't speak evil of them. Curse not. Don't speak evil of them. So praise them, say kind things about them, and don't say evil about them, even if they're persecuting you in a small way or even in a large way. Now, we have the story of David and Shimei in the Bible. If you want to turn there to 2 Samuel chapter 16, 2 Samuel chapter 16, and we're going to just read through these verses to show you an illustration of how this can fall out. And the background of it was King Saul had died. He had been killed in battle. He had died. And now 25 years had passed. David was now the king. Shimei, for some reason, didn't get over the fact that Saul died, and he tried to blame David. He didn't like David being the king. So he blamed him for Saul's death, even though it wasn't direct. And he said that he was of the devil. We see that as he cursed him and threw rocks at him. 2 Samuel 16:5. And when David, King David, came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial, or man of the devil. Belial is the devil. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul. He's saying, you're getting what you deserve, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom. Absalom was trying to take over the kingdom. David's son, thy son, and behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I done to you, you sons of Zeruiah? And so he set him, he let him curse. He said, let him curse because the Lord had said unto him, curse David. Now notice he said the Lord had said unto him, curse David. In other words, God allowed it. And so he said, who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all the servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. In other words, Absalom's wanting to kill me. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. He says, I've got bigger things on my plate right now. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing today, this day. God can use it. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him, and cursed as he went, and threw stones at him, and cast the dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. So the story was what he was doing to David, and David said, let him alone. And his right-hand man wanted to kill him, and he said, no, we're not going to do that. Just leave him alone. God has allowed it, and maybe some good will come out of it, even for me, even though it's not a good situation. So David's example here teaches us at least three different things, three truths about God's command to bless the people that persecute us. Number one, remember that God allowed it. Remember that God allowed it. That's number one in your notes. Remember that God allowed it. 2 Samuel 16:10, and the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Go ahead and let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done this? Who's wondering why he's doing it? So we find out that God allows verbal attacks of people in our lives. And it also is often for our own good. It comes from our critics, but it's for our own good. A, in your outline, how is it to our good? Well, to help us see ourselves. To help us see ourselves. Sometimes there's only a little grain of truth in what they're saying, but that grain of truth can be important. Now, if they're hateful people, we look at it as just a verbal attack. They're hateful and they're not kind about it, and they ream us out, we would say, and they're very hateful. Then we say, well, that's just a verbal attack. And we miss maybe God's lesson for us in that verbal attack. We just look at it and say, ah, they're just mad and that's it. We go on. We don't look at, ask God, what are you teaching me? But we all have blind spots. You probably have a car that maybe somewhere in that car there's a blind spot. Well, we have those, but we need to have a teachable spirit and ask God if what somebody is saying to us could possibly help us to see a blind spot in our life. And sometimes it's not people that are angry or mad. Sometimes it's friends. It's well-meaning people who love you, who want to help you out. And we ought to prayerfully consider what they're saying And then one of the great challenges we have is get past our pride. Get past our pride. That's one of the biggest challenges. So, and by the way, if you're going to give helpful criticism, if that's your purpose and it's really in your heart, then we have to do it in love. Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth how? In love. Be very kind and loving and not harsh about it if you're going to try to say something to somebody to help them out. And that'll go a long ways in the process. So it's to help us see ourselves, and then B, to grow us closer to Him. To grow us closer to Him. Whenever somebody attacks us, who do we call? Who do we go to? Well, a lot of times we'll go to our spouse. I know when pastoring, sometimes things would happen. I'd get home and say, this happened to me. What do you think? And how do you think I ought to handle this? We go to them. And that's okay. Our children go to parents, or we may go to a good friend. All of us have friends we have confidence in, and we go to them. What do you think about it? What do you think about the way I should act about it? But we should call mainly on the Lord. That's where we should go with it. Call on the Lord and ask Him. James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Psalm 121, 1 and 2, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from whom? From the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So nobody cares like Jesus, and nobody can handle your problem and understand your situation any more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to go to Him. We should go to Him. So remember, number one, that God allowed it. Number two, remember to keep the right perspective. Remember to keep the right perspective. David was saying in 2 Samuel 16:11, I have bigger issues. Don't worry about this little guy throwing rocks, but I've got to deal with Absalom, who's trying to take over the whole kingdom. And he wants to murder me. So 2 Samuel 16:11, David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? If my son's doing it, then we shouldn't be surprised that this Benjamite's doing it. How much more? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. So if we're not careful, when some things happen to us, we'll lose our perspective. And if we do that, if we let this capture us, some little thing over here that somebody said, we lose the perspective on the main thing God wants us to be doing. And we make bad decisions because of it. And the sad thing about it is some of those decisions are irreversible. But we have to be careful. So, A, in this, a right perspective sees hurt people properly. A right perspective sees hurt people properly, or the way we ought to see them. A lot of times, people who are hurt hurt other people because they're hurt. Shimei was hurt. He was really hurt because he loved Saul, and he didn't think David belonged there. In 2 Samuel 16:7-8, he was bitter. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee the blood of the house of Saul. He was mad. He was angry. He was bitter because of what had taken place. And so he's calling him all these names and saying, you're getting what you deserve. Now, these were false accusations. None of that was true. It was stuff he made up because of his emotions. And we, a lot of times, we blame the other person, though, when really we are as much at fault as the other person. But we blame them. Often what they say is not true, and often what we say in retaliation is not true, but we have a tendency to blame the other person. And so as we look at Shimei, we see what's going on down in his heart, and that's where the real problem is, in our hearts. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Why was he saying those things? He had a problem with his heart. He was hurt in his heart. And he was angry in his heart. And so we have to look at other people and try to understand where they're coming from and have a right perspective. Oftentimes they are hurting too. They're hurting like we may be. And they've gone through some things we may not realize. And they probably need our compassion, and they certainly need our forgiveness. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, are we listening to God? Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Remember, we've got to remember that God forgave us. Amen? And we ought to forgive other people. Shimei was wrong. God allowed it. David realized it. And he was dealing with it in a compassionate way. And he had bigger fish to fry. Now, Alzheimer's is a physical memory problem that people run into at different age categories, different ages. But a lot of times when people have Alzheimer's, and you've seen it and I've seen it, where the caretaker, they'll bless them out. They'll say terrible things to them. They'll tell them they hate them. You're being cruel to me. And they, a lot of times when they have Alzheimer's, before that they would never curse, but because of a physical mess in their lives, they begin to curse. It's like a physical disease. And really, they many times can't help it. And so we need to be patient with them with that physical disease. And I don't have time. I could tell you some stories of some visits I've made through some Alzheimer's units. But at any rate, it's a physical disease. But then unkind people like someone like this, they have a spiritual impairment. They have a spiritual problem. And so we need to be patient and try to be understanding, just like we would be with an Alzheimer's patient. And then B in your outline, a right perspective sees the real problem. A right perspective sees the real problem. Absalom's rebellion was the biggest problem, and he wanted to kill his father David. He came out of his own loins, he said. And it's just a reminder to us that in the Christian life, we're always going to have battles. We're always going to have situations in our lives that are a battle. But a lot of times we forget who's behind it. Who's behind these problems and bitterness and anger and bad words and all of that? It's the devil. The devil is real. The demons are real. We still contend with the old flesh. We have that old nature. I believe we still have the two natures, the old nature. Ephesians 6:12 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. Of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, demonic forces that are fighting us to try to cause these problems. And if the devil can get us to focus on these small problems, these petty problems, I've seen people get hurt just a little bit, not hardly anything. And somebody said something to them, well, you got my parking place. You pulled in front of me just as I was pulling in. And they get mad at each other. And then statements are made. And then I've seen people over nothing in 50 years of pastoring quit church over just nothing. Those kind of people, by the way, they'll go to another church and another church and another church. Sometimes it's good to leave a church if they compromise. We're not talking about that, but there are just some people that are like a frog. They just hop from church to church because they have their feelers out and they get their feelings hurt. And it's over trivial stuff. I mean, I could give you a lot of illustrations. We don't have time. But what happens is contention divides them, and then they quit serving God. And that's a sad thing. So we need to be vigilant. We need to be focused on the right thing, and we need to obey God. Nehemiah was focused on those things, and he was going to build the wall, but Sanballat and others, Tobiah, were fighting him, and he was to expect that, but he didn't let it throw him off course. He went on and kept on and stayed with the main thing and not let them discourage him. And so you and I can expect persecution. The prophets had it. The apostles had it. The early church Christians had it. And we're going to have it. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Paul had it, and yet Paul pressed on. Philippians 3:14, he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He saw the bigger picture. Paul couldn't stop. One guy said, if I stop for every little chihuahua that's barking at me, I can't finish my walk around the block. And so that's what we do sometimes if we're not careful. So remember that God allowed it. And then number two, remember to keep the right perspective. Number three, remember to let God be in control. Let God be in control. David gave the problem to God, 2 Samuel 16:12. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. God might bring good out of this, David said. He believed God could do it and would do it. Now, a couple of truths here that we see in David's answer. A, in your outline, or I don't think you have an A, but remember that God will take care of you. Remember that God will take care of you. All through the Bible, God's hand takes care of people. All through the Bible. And God many times removes the problems and gives grace. And for David, he did that and he never left David's side. Remember that God will take care of you. In 2 Samuel 8:6, and the Lord preserved David, whithersoever he went. So it doesn't matter how deep the problem is. God's grace and God's care for you is deeper than the problem. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And there are other verses. There was a preacher by the name of Walter Stillman Martin. He was a school teacher. His wife was Sevilla Martin, and she wrote songs for revival meetings, and he would put them to music. He was at Practical Bible Training School for a number of years in New York. He was invited to preach at a church. His wife was ill that morning, and he thought, well, I'm not going to preach. I'm going to stay home with her. It wasn't a major illness. It wasn't a long-term illness, but she was not feeling good. And so his son spoke to him and made him change his mind and go on. And here's what his son said to him, his 9-year-old son, Father, don't you think that if God wants you to preach today, he'll take care of mother while you're away? It was just a simple statement. If God wants you to preach, don't you think he'll take care of mother while you're away? And so he went ahead and preached. And his wife, when he got home, was feeling better, but she had written some lyrics to a song. And he sat down and put music to the lyrics that she had written. And it was in 1905, and the song was, God Will Take Care of You. Most of us know that song. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or the way, all the way. He'll take care of you. God will take care of you. And so that's a beautiful thing that came out of that. Then remember that God will take care of the other person. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of the other person. David left him in God's hands. He left him in God's hands. And David regained the throne. And maybe Shemaiah wasn't expecting that, but David got the throne back. And Shemaiah came to him, and the Bible says he fell down. We don't have time to read, but you can read it in 2 Samuel 19. But he fell down before David and asked his forgiveness and said, "I'm sorry, you know, forgive me." And David could have killed him right then. He could have said, "Take this man out who was throwing rocks at me and cursing me one day and kill him." And they would have done it. No questions asked. But he didn't do it. And he said to the man that ye should this day be adversaries unto me. To the one who wanted to do that, shall there any man be put to death this day in Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? I know what I could do. Therefore the king said to Shimei, thou shalt not die, and the king swear unto him. So he forgave him. Well, later Solomon became the king, and he had to deal with Solomon. What's Solomon going to do with me? And he went before Solomon and asked for forgiveness, and Solomon forgave him and said, I have one requirement. You got to stay in Jerusalem. You can't go anywhere. Don't go across the Kidron, and you stay here. You can read about that in 1 Kings 2:42. But Shimei didn't do what Solomon wanted him to do, and two of his servants left, and he went after him and went past the borderline that he had said he'd been told not to go. And when he got back, Solomon saw that he was killed. You see, eventually you always reap what you sow. He didn't learn. He just did it again, and so he reaped what he sowed. And David didn't live in bitterness all those years. He had the throne of the king, but he didn't live in bitterness, and that's good. Vengeance belongs to God. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He said, let God take care of him. He'll take care of him. You don't have to do it. And Alexander the coppersmith turned on Paul. So let's wrap it up here in about a minute. What God requires of us is very hard, but it's the thing that shows and proves that we're saved and we're different from the world. So we return criticism or cursing with kindness. That's hard to do. I was a counselor at Camp Ridgecrest, North Carolina. It's the largest Southern Baptist camp when I was a senior in high school. We had probably about 300 in the camp, lawyers, children, doctors. Some of them left them there the whole summer. About $500 a week. They paid a good price on it. And some of them really were hard to get along with their parents. And so our camp director, I never forget him, Wayne Chastain was his name. He was a black belt karate. You didn't want to fool with him. And he said, if you want to kill them with kindness. And if you want to kill them, nice them to death. And that's what God says. If you got an enemy, heap coals of fire on the head, treat them right. They can't stand it. And so I never have forgotten what he told us. And so we got to remember these things. One, that God allowed it, and he can bring good out of it. Some situation that comes in our life like that. And then we've got to keep the right perspective, and then remember to let God be in control of it. You don't have to get even. You've seen the bumper sticker, I don't get mad, I just get even. That's as unbiblical as anything can be. So if you got it on your car, go ahead and take it off. But it's mainly right here in our heart, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the clear teaching of the Word. Help us to be obedient, even though it's not natural. But may the Holy Spirit give us the courage and the strength to obey your Word and get along with people, to love people, to understand where they're coming from, and to have the right perspective about what we're here for. In Jesus' name, amen.